Vimes of the stricken load sliding off the wagon. Vimes hauled the driver upright as soon as the debris stopped falling. He was covered in egg. "Sorry about that, sir. Watch business. Ask for Sergeant Keel. Got to rush." Behind him, the wagon rattled up the alley, wheel rims knocking sparks off the walls. There were doorways and side alleyways to escape into, but Carter's crew would certainly be slowed down. The rest of his crew had stopped when they heard the noise, but Vimes piled into them and forced them on until they reached a road, blocked with carts and thronged with people.
"Well, you've got your soldiers covered in eggs, Sarge," said Sam, with a worried grin. "What's all that about?"
"It's some of the unmentionables," said Vimes. "Probably want to settle a score." Well, that was close enough.
"But I saw watchmen and soldiers with them," said Fred Colon.
"Sarge! It's me, Sarge! Flee, Sarge!"
Nobby elbowed his way through the men.
"Is this a good time, Nobby?" said Vimes.
"There's men after you, Sarge."
"Well done, Nobby."
"Carter, Sarge. He's got a job with Snapcase. Captain of the Palace Guard, Sarge. And they're going to get you. Snapcase told him to, Sarge. My mate Scratch and Sniff is the underboot boy at the palace, and he was in the yard and heard him talking, Sarge."
I should have known, Vimes thought. Snapcase was a devious devil. And now Carter's got his feet under another bastard's table. Captain of the Guard.
"I haven't been making a lot of friends lately," said Vimes.
"Okay, gentlemen, I'm going to run. If you lot melt away into the crowd, you'll be fine, I expect."
"No fear, Sarge," said Sam,
and there was a general murmur of agreement.
"We had an amnesty," said Dickens. "They can't do this."
"Anyway, they were shooting at everyone," said one of the soldiers. "Bastards. They need a good going over."
"They've got bows," said Vimes.
"So we ambush them, Sarge," said Dickens.
"Choose your ground and fight up close, and a crossbow's just a piece of wood."
"Did any of you hear me?" said Vimes. "They're after me, not you. You do not want to mix it with Carter. You, Snouty, you shouldn't be doing this at your time of life."
The old jailer glared at him through runny eyes.
"That's a hell of a thing to you, for you to say to me, Sarge," he said.
"How do we know he won't decide to come after us anyway?" said Dickens. "An amnesty's an amnesty, right? They can't do this."
There was a general chorus and lines of, "Yeah, that's right."
"It's happening," Vimes thought. "They are talking themselves right into it. But what can I do? We've got to face them. I've got to face them. I've got to face Carter. The thought of leaving him here with all he knows..."
"How about if we head down Keeble Street?" said Dickens. "Lots of little alleyways off there. They'll go rushing along, thinking we've bolted for the watch house, and we'll have 'em. We ain't standing for this, Sarge."
Vimes sighed. "Okay," he said. "Thank you. You're of one mind?" There was a cheer.
"Then I won't make a speech," said Vimes. "There isn't time. I'll just say this. If we don't win this, if we don't see him off, well, we've got to, that's all. Otherwise it'll be very bad for this city. Very bad."
"That's right," Dickens cut in insistently. "There was an amnesty."
"But look," said one of the soldiers, "I don't know half the men here. If we're going to close in, we want to know who's on our side."
"That's right," said Snouty. "I mean, some of them chasing us was watchmen."
Vimes raised his eyes. The wide alley in front of them, known as Lobsneaks, stretched all the way to Cable Street. It was lined with gardens, and there were purple flowers on the bushes. The morning air smelled of lilac.
"I did call a battle once," said Dickens, looking up at a tree. "In history it was, and there was this company, see? And they was a ragtag of different squads, and all covered in mud in any case, and they found themselves hiding in a field of carrots. So as a badge, they all pulled up carrots and stuck them on their helmets, so's they'd know where their friends were, and incidentally have a nourishing snack for later, which is never to be sneezed at on a battlefield."
"Well, so what?" said Dibbler.
"So what's wrong with a lilac flower?"
said Dickens, reaching up and pulling down a laden branch.
"Makes a spanking plume, even if you can't eat it."
And now, Vimes thought, it ends.
"I think they are very bad men," said a high, rather elderly, but nevertheless determined voice from somewhere in the crowd, and there was a glimpse of a skinny hand waving a knitting needle.
"And I shall need a volunteer to escort Mrs. Soups on home," he said.
End of CD 10.